dentists, they don't do the surgery. They don't even clean the teeth. They're like, you guys do everything, and then I'll come in and jab them with a sharp object. I did figure out what type of doctor I would want to be, which is an anesthesiologist. Because just once, I'd like to walk in a room and go, hi, I'm Dr. Gaffigan. I'm going to give you some drugs so you can't talk or move. And one of these strangers is going to cut you open. Good luck. What draws someone to anesthesiology? It's like, I like medicine, but I really enjoy getting people high. If I can combine the two. I also prefer to sit during surgery. You ever see the anesthesiologist during surgery? They're always sitting there like, I don't even know why I have to be here. Yeah, they're still alive. Anyone got the Wi-Fi password?
WRJ Radio. I'm Don Rosen, cracking throat there. And thanks for joining us. This is going to be WRJ and historical marker number 6 today. And what we're doing is we're actually preserving the history of WRJN, which turns 100 years old in 2026. And so many radio stations, they lose their history because they don't talk to the people who work there. And occasionally, we're all going to pass away. It's going to happen. There's, you know, you can't stop that. So we want to talk about the people while we can. And we want to preserve their memories forever. The Racine Public Library has told us they will archive all our WRJN historical marker programs. Also, I talked to Michelle Vetterkind over at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. And she will probably put on the on the audio museum they have there. So we're going to preserve this. So maybe 50 or 60 years from now, somebody could say, really? There was something called radio? Really? Oh, my grandparents told me they used to listen to radio. No, actually, radio's been around for a long time. WRJN, almost 100 years. And part of that 100 years was a good friend of mine, our engineer, Terry Bond. Terry is no longer with us. He did pass away. But Linda Bond, his wife, is with us today. I know a lot about Terry's professional career, but I need you to fill in all the gaps because I saw sides of Terry people didn't see, and I'm going to talk about that. You know, he always wore a suit and tie, a sport coat, tie, always like a stuffed shirt wearing that stuff. People said, oh, it's a hot day today. Why is he wearing a suit? I saw him when he wasn't wearing the suit, when he was a great American. We'll talk about that later on. But you, let's talk about Terry. Now, Terry's from where originally? Terry Bond, our engineer.
He is from Milwaukee.
Oh, he's a local yokel. Okay.
Yes. He is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Do you know how he got into the radio broadcasting industry?
It all started with a socket of, he wanted to see, you know, where you plug your stuff in. He wanted to see what was behind that. So he took a knife and his hand when he was a little boy and put it in there and, of course, got a horrible shock and lost feeling in his arm for a few weeks, actually. And his mom said he was always interested then in the electrical current.
Most people at that point would say, I'm never going near electricity again as long as I live. But he went the other way. Yeah.
No, he did that. And then they got him the old erector sets that they built things with. And he just loved, and he read constantly on technology. So he was great in his field, that is for sure.
And did he go to, he went to high school, obviously, but did he go to college and all?
He graduated from Marquette.
Oh, okay.
He graduated in journalism, actually, because back then, of course, they didn't have a lot of things, but he went from journalism to that. And he always said that an engineer needs to be professional, and this, he always wore his suit and ties.
Oh, man, did he always wear that suit and tie. I'm going to tell you a story a little while when it was like 200 degrees outside and he was in a ditch outside our radio station splicing wires. I'll tell you about that later on. We'll get to that. Now, he also liked classical music, I know, because he worked for WFMR, which later became WKLH in Milwaukee. When it was classical, he worked for them.
Yes, Terry was, we have a vast library of classical records and CDs. But we would go and travel because my family is in here in Indiana, and we would travel back and forth to Wisconsin, and we would listen to the classical station in Chicago. And I would get very tickled at Terry because one of his first things he would do would be yell at the radio if the announcer mispronounced the composer's name. And things. So he was adamant. He loved classical music. He thought it was a great genre and just never wanted to see it go by the wayside, you know, because it was such a wonderful thing to listen to the different movements of the classical era.
Well, he did. He got involved with WFMR, which was on Capitol Drive. I remember where the studios were, because our studios were right across the street. WFMR, with a guy named Doug Coffrin. Remember that name?
I don't, but
yeah, Doug Coffrin had a lot of money. His family had money. He ran for U.S. Senator and didn't win in the state of Wisconsin, but he owned WFMR, and that's who Terry worked for, Doug Coffrin, back then.
Oh, there you go.
And then, did he work in radio, any stations before WFMR that you remember?
I know he was always involved with stations. I mean, he did a college station, of course. And he did, he loved just the whole aspect of radio. And when he got the chance, of course, he went out on his own for Criterion Broadcast Services. But Terry's whole philosophy of everything is you have to do it top-notch. And he did not like cutting any kind of corner. He would try to figure out how to make it work by cutting other areas before he would, you know, cut the quality of the station.
You mentioned that, and that is so true about Terry. When he was the first person I ever met when I came to Milwaukee. I was hired from Atlanta. I used to work for a station, WSB, down in Atlanta. And Bill Moose, you remember that name? Bill Moose.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
Yeah. Bill was the program director at WEZW. That was at 103.7. It's now, I think, Kiss FM in Milwaukee. And he came down to Atlanta to hire me. And I drove up, my wife and my daughter. My little daughter was only 3 months old. They stayed behind, and we're going to fly up, but I had to drive the car up. And drove through, probably past your home there in Indiana, because I went right through there coming up from Atlanta. And they put me up at the Pfister Hotel, where my car was broken into the first night there. Yeah, Chicky the house dick came down to laugh about it. Anyway, so the next morning I went to the radio station, which really was, I hate to use the word dump, but it was a little bit of a dump. And I went down there, and I opened, you know, knocked on the door. I didn't have a key yet. And they knocked on the door, and there was Terry. Nobody was in the building but him. He introduced himself. So he was the first person I met when I moved to Wisconsin. Except for Chicky the house dick at the Pfister Hotel. Other than I met Terry, and he was walking me around, showing me everything, and he was wearing his, you know, sport jacket and tie, and I was quite underdressed, probably wearing jeans and a, you know, regular shirt, and I was hired to do middays at the station, and I remember hanging, he took me into his office, we were talking, and I looked up, and there was a picture of Thomas Edison hanging at his office, and I said, boy, this guy's really into engineering. He was a big fan of Thomas Edison.
He was. And another big fan he was of was actually Walt Disney.
Really? Okay.
Yes, because he felt that, you know, the technology that Disney would put together and his vision and, you know, it was just, yeah, he was in Thomas Edison and Walt Disney.
So we worked together at WECW for close to 10 years. He left before I left. I didn't hang around long after Terry was there. But he was such a stickler for perfection on everything. We had backups for backups at that radio station. Right. Backup transmitters. Backup everything. And then eventually we were going to move to downtown with all new equipment. And Terry made sure that we were in a soundproof booth. So we got this special glass surrounding the booth, and it was glass with in the middle and layers of plastic on the outside of it for sound absorption, because glass doesn't absorb sound, but the plastic will. And he had the studio surrounded in that, and all the equipment was brand new at the time, and we had something that no other radio station had at that time, CD players. I mean, they were brand new. This was the early 80s, and we had a CD player in there, and people looking at it like the monkeys in 2001, the Space Odyssey, were looking at the monolith. You know, ooh, you know, they were looking like that. And we were reel-to-reel tapes at the time, and Terry set this studio up, and we were like in a glass booth, and it was wonderful. And it's just he just really built it all himself. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we started really at WECW in Milwaukee. Eventually, he will get here. I'll get to that in just a second. Plus, I want to talk about Linda's background, too. So that's coming up in just a moment. It's 719 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. Today, it's WRJN Historical Marker number 6, Terry Bond. And we're talking with his wife, Linda Bond, about Terry's career. And we'll talk about how he got here and some really funny stuff that came out of his mouth at this station, all right? That's coming up here at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed. WRJN, it's WRJN Historical Marker number 6, Terry Bond. He was our engineer here at WRJN. His wife is joining me, Linda Bond. And Linda, you have a background in broadcasting that I wasn't aware of. I knew you worked for the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, but there's a whole life of broadcasting before that, and I didn't know that. And that's how you got involved. You got mixed up with Terry.
Yeah, there you go.
So give us a little background. Yeah.
Yes, I was lucky enough to do the farm report for a radio station that was owned by a local mom and pop here in Noblesville, Indiana. And then I also, from there, went to work in television at WHMB, which was the local Channel 40 here in Noblesville. And then from there, I was recommended by the director of engineering to go to the Society of Broadcast Engineers, where I started out as a secretary, but ended up as the director of the SBE certification program. and worked there many, many years. Loved it, and that's how I... Oh, that's where my love, I guess, for engineers started at WHMB and the engineering department there, who always have fun playing tricks on me. but then went to the SBE, where I got to work nationally with the national office and help build the certification program. And when I became certification director, Terry... told me then that, Linda, you know, you have the heart for the engineers, which isn't easy, he said. And he goes, take the certification department and run it as if it were your own company. And, you know, I never forgot those words. And that's what I did. And then Terry gave my resume to Michelle Betterkind, who is the president of the WBA and a wonderful friend. And he did it behind my back because she was being promoted to the presidency of the WBA, and she was, you know, on the hunt for a vice president, and Terry thought I would be great for that job. So when she called and we set up the interview, that's when I found out my husband was instrumental in all of that. So I had the privilege of working beside Terry for a lot of years. And it is the joy of my life. So
he is such a wonderful human being. Now, he became, with the WBA, now that you brought it up, he's in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. He was,
correct.
And he helped young engineers. He also worked with young people who wanted to get into engineering. See, one of the things with the WBA, other than broadcasting, you got to be involved in helping and doing other things. And he did that, too. Which I was surprised when I heard, not surprised that he did it, but I didn't know he was doing it.
Yes, he was on the forefront of the technology, and I remember him. He is also an SBE fellow, and he is also Lifetime Achievement Award within the SBE. But I remember with the SBE, he would tell the engineers, you know, you learn these things, you take it back to your stations, and you have to be credible. So therefore, you need to work on you too, you know, to present this to your managers, so, and do it in a way that they understand what you're doing. And he was on the very forefront of all of the technology. I remember when the engineers were putting the different computer networks together, and Terry explained to them that, yes, this was their part of their job, and if they didn't do it, it would be like a dinosaur, because the computers, of course, were going to be on the forefront, and most radio stations are plug and play now. And so he was credible. You could trust what he said.
Absolutely he was credible. Absolutely. And that's why he made a great engineer, because you believe that if he said it has to be done, it has to be done. You know?
Yes, yeah, and he was the founder of the CBNT, the Certified Broadcast Networking Technologist. He worked on the certification committee for over I don't know how many years, and was always making sure that the database of questions and everything was up to date. You know, he said, you've got to keep learning. You can't just sit back and think you know it all. You don't, you know. So he was very good in all of that. He was Educator of the Year a few times within the SBE, and the same thing with the WBA. He was very involved with the Summer Conference Engineering Programming. He was involved with working on the clinic when it first started, and he always kept the engineers on the forefront.
When we were at WEZW, the company Multimedia Broadcasting owned the station, and they wanted to stop using reel-to-reel tapes to do this new format. They were changing from easy listening to more of an adult contemporary format, and they said they didn't want to use CDs yet. So they used something called DAT tapes, digital audio tapes. And they weren't quite perfected for radio. I don't think anybody uses them anymore. But they said, all your library is going to be on these digital audio tapes. So we went out and we got these machines. They looked like VCRs, but they weren't VCRs, but they looked like it. And they didn't work. They burned out. The first day we changed formats, we were advertised in the paper to the new WEZW. When you hear this, you're going to love it. So we tried with these DAT tapes. We only had half the library on DAT tape, by the way. The other half never arrived. And they were burning out, literally. Oh, by 8, we started at 6 in the morning. By 8, the first two machines overheated and burned out and were unusable. Terry ran out to Colder's and bought two more. Actually, he bought four of them. And he installed them real quick, and the other two burned out. So he found some lumber next door. They were constructing something in the downtown office building we were located in. And he grabbed some lumber, and he put the machines on stilts so the air can go underneath them. But you couldn't. It was hard to touch the machines because if you touched them, they would fall over. And he was working all day, and this started at 6 o'clock in the morning, all day long to try to get these machines so they weren't burning out. And he constructed this brace with wood that he found next door, stole from next door. And he built this brace to hold these machines up. You know, I would have given up and quit. He didn't quit on it. He kept staying, you know, with it until Multimedia said, all right, get rid of them. Get rid of the DAT tapes. They're not going to work. It was a good try, but they really weren't meant for radio stations to work with. But he gave it a try, and wow. So that was the big DAT tape thing. There was one more thing that happened at WEZW. Actually, two more stories I got to tell you before he switched over to WRJN. Linda Bond, wife of Terry Bond, who was a longtime engineer in southeast Wisconsin and one of the main greatest engineers I ever worked with. We'll talk more about Terry with Linda coming up in a moment. 729 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. At WRJN Radio. This is WRJN's historical marker number 6. Today, a good friend, great engineer, and just a good human being. Terry Bond is our topic today, and Linda Bond, his wife, is joining me. And I got a few more stories about WEZW real quickly that you probably didn't know about. But
I'd love to hear them.
Oh, they're good. Okay. With WEZW, back when we were on Capitol Drive, they were... Our radio station was broadcast from the Channel 6 tower on Capitol Drive. That's where our antenna was, on Channel 6. And they were doing some construction in the area on Capitol Drive. And what happened was it was all connected by wires, and the wires were underground, and they went just a couple of blocks to the Channel 6 tower. Well, the guys with the backhoes ripped up the wires, and we were off the air because the wires to our antenna. It was hot. It was during the summer. And Terry took his sport jacket off, got in this ditch that the backhoe created on Capitol Drive with traffic going in everywhere, dirt all over the place, and he got in and spliced the wires together. It took a couple of hours because there's a lot of wires, a lot of dirt. He had to go find them and match up the right wires, and he got us back on the air. We're back on the air about a half hour. The backhoe ripped up another section with all the wires, and Terry lost it. He was screaming at these workers because they were told where not to dig, and they were just dropping this backhoe wherever they felt like it, and they ripped up the wires again, and he had to go back in the ditch. Now it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon because he's working on this stuff all day, and he got the wires spliced again, screaming at these backhoe people to watch where they're working, and so we finally got back on the air.
I'm sure he was nice about that. Yeah.
First of all, it was like 90 degrees outside, and it, you know, who wants to work in a ditch of dirt? And he did it the first time. Then they did it again just a few minutes later. Ripped us up again. Another good story about WEZW. We moved downtown to 7th and Wisconsin Avenue. We had the rooftop there. We owned all that stuff. And there was, you know, these were the, you know, technology, you got to think it was a little bit different. And so we decided to get rid of the DAT players, and we went on this satellite format where it was partially live, partially on satellite. And we put this, Terry had this dish installed on the roof of the building, and unfortunately, we had interference. I mean, big time interference from everybody else downtown using digital stuff to transfer information, whatever. So we took turns on the rooftop trying to figure out. Terry rented this, I forget what it was. It was some kind of detection machine for $1,000 a week to figure out where these signals were coming from. Every time they came from there, we had to call them, can you shut off your stuff? You're interfering with our radio station. They shut it off. Another person came on, and Terry and I were on this rooftop. You know, and finally I said, enough already. I can't keep coming on this rooftop. I got other stuff to do all day long. So we worked on that for a while until we got it fixed, and it never worked right because we were downtown, and this were the days when satellite stuff on radio was just beginning. So, yeah. But Terry eventually left WEZW, and we were looking for an engineer. Our engineer had just left, Gene Butterfield, and I recommended Terry. Terry came in, and he took one look at the equipment here and said, this is a quote, when one of the Instacart machines, they don't have to worry what they are, people not knowing, but they were old things that radio stations used to use, but we were still using them. And Terry said, I don't work on museum pieces. And what happened was the machine broke down. Terry and I did a road trip up to Beaver Dam. We found a radio station that had the identical equipment. There was like two stations in the state of Wisconsin. And the station in Beaver Dam was getting rid of their Instacart machines. So Terry and I went up there to Beaver Dam. He got it. He had to unhook it from their equipment because their engineer still left it in the rack. This was heavy, too. We had to carry it out to his car. His green, do you remember his green car with the FM license plate on it?
I've seen it. I've seen pictures of it, yeah.
It was like a lime green car, and the license plate was FM, which I thought was really neat. Anyway, so we loaded into his car, and we drove all the way back from Beaver Dam. Now we had to install it in our rack. And he kept saying, I'm not going to. And every time it broke, I had to call him up and say, it broke again. And that's when he came up with, I don't want to work on these museum pieces anymore. But he did. He came down in the middle of the night and fixed it because we were automated at the time. We were live in the morning, but automated all day long with this equipment that was really old stuff. And we had these CD players we were running the format off of in the WEZY, WHKQ, whatever the call letters were back then, our FM at 92.1. And every time we walked in the room, we had a little static spark with whatever we touched, and it started every CD player. And we had, I think, 20-some-odd CD players, each one a six-pack, and they all started playing at the same time. So Terry put in this humidifier in the room, which took away the sparks. But it did something else. It put white powder on everything in the room. So all the CDs had, so we had to wipe down all these, and I said, how do you get rid of that? So then he got a filter for the humidifier that got rid of the white powder on all the CDs.
Oh, wow.
We had all this stuff. And I know he was frustrated because he's working with, this is old technology. And
right.
He wanted to upgrade, and the owners at the time said, well, we don't have the money to upgrade, and we're doing fine with this, and this is the best we have for now. But Terry saw the future is not going to be in this old automation equipment we were using with Instacarts and all this other stuff.
Right.
And but he, you know, he worked with it. I mean, he didn't give up on it. And he could have.
Terry, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say he was a genius in the way that he would always incorporate the old technology to make a way for new technology. If you know what I mean,
yeah.
He didn't just say, okay, this is going to be it. We're never going to make a change. He knew it was going to change. And he would always try in his journey to make it so that the next generation of engineers would come along, and you respect your past, but you've always got to move forward. And I think that Terry, in all of his jobs, I mean, he was the director of engineering for Cumulus Broadcasting, and he would have a monthly call with all of his engineers, and they would discuss the issues going on to try to figure out how to make it work in their facility. And I think that's it. You respect the past equipment, but you know it's going to go away eventually.
He formed his own company called Criterion Broadcasting.
Correct.
That was his own company, and they work with radio stations all over the country, right?
Correct.
So
when he was in Cumulus, I mean, they did Barbados and everything else as well. So his goal, and I think his philosophy, is the best product that you can. And you are a part of that product, so you have to be the best that you can be as well. So.
Yeah, and, you know, everything was grade A class with Terry. Even when I had to call him for things that broke, we had, people don't know this, but our big tower in our backyard is like 350 feet, 320 feet tall. But there's also a tower underneath that on the ground with copper straps that run the entire length of the property. And Terry was instrumental in replacing all those. We own the whole city block here in Racine, but underneath the property are these copper straps that are part of the tower. We had to dig up the parking lot. And Terry was all part of that process of digging this stuff up, and I mean, he just didn't give up. I remember when Tom Carco wanted better reception on his police scanner radio, Terry went out and bought an antenna, which is still hanging on the building, by the way, to get Tom better reception on his police scanner radio. And he went out and he got on the building. And I remember he was climbing up the building and stuff, walking on the roof. And I said, oh, my goodness, be careful up there, hanging off the roof, putting this antenna up. He did all that. You know, he got involved in it. He didn't just assign it to somebody. He went out and bought the antenna, put it on the rooftop. Now, that scanner is long gone, but the antenna that he installed is still up there on the roof, on the back of the building. It just, he did it so well, it just stayed there. I mean, he just didn't, you know, duct tape it to the building. He bolted it and made sure it was never going to come down. And you know what? It didn't come down.
Exactly. And Terry was one also that would never ask somebody else to do something that he wouldn't do himself. And I think that philosophy and the quality that he always instilled in everybody is still prevalent. And I'm glad for that because, you know, without the quality of radio, if it's just static, that doesn't help anybody.
So after he left WRJN Radio, I don't know where he went after that. I don't know if he went to Cumulus after us or Cumulus. I think he went to Cumulus after he left WRJN Radio, and he worked for them. What happened after that?
Well, he still was working with Criterion Broadcast Services all along, but then he also went to work for the Wisconsin Public, or ECB, the Education Communications Board, and he was the director or the administrator for the engineering partnership for the ECB stations.
Yeah, and you know what? Go ahead, Linda.
And that is a part of all of the public radio and television stations in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, and
between the partnership and PBS, yeah.
And one of the reasons he's in the Hall of Fame is because even though I'm in radio for 52 years and a lot of years here in Wisconsin, I'm pretty selfish. I don't do things like Terry did and help other people. I generally just help myself, and that's it. But in order to be in the Hall of Fame, you have to do something above and beyond. And he did that. He was the president of the Society of Broadcast Engineers. He did all these programs to help young engineers, you know, in the future and stuff. And he didn't stop. And he was never stopped wearing that suit and tie during all this thing.
Absolutely not, right?
And
he did start wearing sweaters and stuff towards the end of his career. But there were so many ties and suits, and you always look professional. You've got to be the best you can be, he would always say.
Now, here's where you're going to have to help me. What did he do toward the end of his career? What was he involved in? Because I ran into him at the Wisconsin Broadcasters conventions a few times, but I didn't get the lowdown on what he was doing.
Well, he was with ECB, the Education Communications Board. He retired right after he had a stroke. He retired immediately after that. And he was involved with the Wisconsin, still with the WBA, in helping. And he was with me on a lot of events and stuff as well. And he always helped me, like, set up for the awards gala. And he was still involved in engineering. The WBA had the engineering hotline where you could call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and engineers did, if they had issues and stuff. So Terry was still providing services. The phone would ring a lot, and Terry would help them with whatever situation was happening at that time.
Now I'm going to share, after the break here, two fun stories. You probably know the escalator story in Chicago. You heard that story.
Oh, yes, I do.
We're going to talk about the escalator story, which is legendary, and some other fun things I did with Terry. He wasn't just an engineer with wires and sparks and all that, sticking his fingers in sockets. He did some other stuff, too, that were kind of fun, and he was a good friend of mine. And we're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment. Linda Bond is with me, Terry's wife. Terry, an integral part of Milwaukee, Racine Radio, Wisconsin Radio, because these were his roots, with the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. But he was more than just an engineer. He also had some fun. And I'm going to share some of that fun with you in just a moment here. WRJN's This Is Our Historical Marker Number 6. Today, it's Terry Bond. And I'm so glad Linda was able to help us out, because I can talk about some of Terry's professional career, but she has to fill in the facts, you know, the cracks and stuff that I don't know about. And she's doing a great job of that. So more coming up with Linda. We're talking Terry Bond at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here. Stay there. Got more to talk about. WRJN, we're talking about Terry Bond, WRJN Historical Marker Number 6. If you want to hear the podcast of this or any other WRJN Historical Marker, we have 6 of them now. You can, wherever you get your podcasts, you can get them at WRJN.com. Just go to the menu, choose shows, Don Rosen, and you'll see them there. Also, you can get your podcast at civicmedia.us. Download the app if you'd like, the Civic Media app. Or you can go to the Apple podcast thingy, where we get your Apple podcast. You can get it also on Spotify. You can also get it on YouTube. If you can get a podcast, you can get this one. Just type in Don Rosen Show and you'll get this. Linda Bond is here. Terry Bond was our engineer for many years here at WRJN, and I worked with him at other stations as well. And here's the other side of Terry. Before we get to the escalator story, I'm going to talk about... I asked him once, I said, you know, my daughter and I are going to Great America. You want to come along? And he said, sure. I was shocked that he said, yeah, I don't picture him a roller coaster guy. But even some of the rides I was terrified of, he said, yeah, I'll go on that ride. So we spent the day. Yeah, we spent the day at Great America. And it was just, we had a great time there. We were there, got there in the morning, stayed till late in the day, did all the rides, the shows and everything. And I was surprised that he cut loose like that. I never saw him like that, but... Yeah, we had a great day at Great America, and, you know, this is a side people didn't see of Terry. They saw the suit, the tie, and the engineering and the professionalism. I saw the guy who cut loose at Great America.
Yeah. Yeah, and Terry, we have two daughters, and Terry would go on any ride, and I, of course, would not. But they had a wonderful time. And the other tradition Terry always had, his mother instilled in him, he would have one martini every night before dinner. So, and he was just a regular guy, but yet not so much as far as his profession went.
Right. Once he got into the radio stations or wherever engineering was, it was all professional. Now, my favorite story is the escalator story, which you've heard before. Terry, I, and Bill Moose, who was our program director at WECW, every year we went to the Consumer Electronics Show at McCormick Place in Chicago. And so we'd load up in the car, the three of us, and we'd go down there. This happened every year. We got our press passes, and we got into the Consumer Electronics Show. Bill was in a wheelchair, so we had to make allowances with that wheelchair. It wasn't as easy as just walking in. We had to find special entrances. And most of the exhibits were on floor two at the Consumer Electronics Show. Well, how do you get to floor two with a wheelchair? You got to take an elevator. So we went to the elevator, and they were using it for other stuff, and they said, no. This is a union elevator, and we're using it for bringing up equipment. Right now, you can't use the elevator. But how do we get to the second floor? The guy says, not my problem. So we went to the escalator, and we figured that I'm going to walk in. I'm going to stand in front of the wheelchair. Terry's going to stand back and hold up the back of the wheelchair so it's even when we're going up the escalator. So we're taking the escalator up, and who is waiting at the top? The safety director from McCormick Place just happened to be there, and he said, you cannot use this wheelchair on an escalator. I said, but the elevator guy said, I don't care what the elevator guy said. You can't use this wheelchair on an escalator. All right. So we went about our entire day at the Consumer Electronics Show, and time to leave. Well, how do we get down to the main floor? So we couldn't use the elevator again. So you got to picture McCormick Place. It was 100,000 people at the Consumer Electronics Show. It was wall-to-wall people on these escalators. And so Terry said, well, I'll stay at the front. You hold the chair at the back, and we'll just go down the way we came up. It was nice and smooth. So I said, well, okay. So we're getting down. Now, what I'm going to describe took a few seconds, but it seemed like an eternity. When the escalator goes down toward the end, the steps disappear under these claws. You know how escalators work. They disappear. And so we're getting down, and I said to Terry, just let it wheel off by itself, and I'll give a little push, and you pull, and we should be fine. We were wall-to-wall people in this thing. But what happened was we get down to the end where the steps disappear, and Bill's front two wheels, the rubber, was by the claw. The claw caught it. And his chair wouldn't go forward. It stopped.
Oh, no.
Now, you got to picture this in slow motion. What happened was people were starting to, now, 3 seconds at most, but the steps were still moving, but the chair wasn't. And people were starting to get onto my back because the steps were still going. And Terry's pulling. I said, pull, pull. And Bill's wheelchair turned around. And now I'm on his lap, and Terry's pulling, 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 and we pulled and finally got loose. And you could see people were like in a panic because this wheelchair, the steps were still going, but the chair was preventing anybody from going down. So I am shaking. Terry pulled the wheel, got out of the way. Who is waiting for us at the bottom? The safety director from McCormick Place. He said, hand in your press passes. They're revoked. I told you not to use this. You almost caused a major catastrophe on this escalator. And I said, but the elevator said, I don't care about the escalator. This guy's red in the face, screaming at us. So we handed over our press passes. He tore them up. He said, they're revoked. Get out of here. Don't come back. Now, we went back the following year, but we used the elevator. But I thought this was it. I thought we were going to be on the evening news. 300 people killed on an escalator today. When three idiots tried to take a wheelchair, three morons tried to get. So that was the escalator story. And I got to tell you, Linda, I love Terry. He was a great engineer, a great friend. And when did he pass away? What was the exact date? Do you remember?
He passed away New Year's Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he passed away. He's been gone 2 years. So.
And he left a lasting mark. You know, some people die and they never leave a lasting impression. He left a lasting impression, and now he'll leave a lasting impression forever, because this will be in the Racine Public Library archives forever. And we put it in such a media form where we hope it will last for a long, long, long time. And I'm so
glad.
Go ahead.
And I'm thankful, Don, that you did this in remembrance of Terry. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Terrence Bond, Terry Bond, and Linda Bond. Thank you, Linda, very much for giving up your morning with us. And I will stay in contact with you, okay? And don't forget, the podcast is out there, folks. You can listen to it if you missed any part of this. Linda, thank you very much. Have a great day, my friend.
Thank you, Don. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, I love remembering Terry. Terrence Bond. I'm Don Rosen, 758. This is WRTN Historical Marker number 6 in our series, remembering all the people that worked at WRJN Radio over the past 97 plus years.